hour. We've got State Senator Kenny Titus as we get the other perspective here on the governor's State of the State address last night. Senator Titus, good to talk to you here this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Brandon. It's always always great to talk to folks.
Yeah, absolutely. So this the governor's final State of the State address. She talked about a number of successes. Obviously, I figured she'd talk about the Chiefs. I wasn't surprised about that since that was pretty recent here. But also highlighted a number of things coming down the pike here as well in terms of education, but also water, which I know you're heavily involved with. Let's start there on the water issues here, because you are so heavily involved with that. What do you see coming down here in 2026 in terms of what will be accomplished on that front?
Yeah, you know, the governor was very complimentary of the work. I'm co-chair of a task force with a representative, Jim Mennings, from Scott City, and we had a meeting actually in Manhattan this fall as we've kind of working through our process. And I think Governor Kelly is really aligned with the way that task force was laid out and is working for the same directions. You know, we really want to make sure long-term our water programs are in good shape, because it's the sort of issue you can't just fix overnight. And so, you know, our focus has been really looking at how we plan, how we prioritize, and how we spend money. And if we're going to put a lot of money into it, there's got to be some accountability. And we have the way we do that now is a system that was put in place and kind of that started in the late 60s, got tweaked in the 70s, a little bit in the 80s. And so it doesn't really reflect the demand we have on our water systems now. So we're looking at all of that. I think there'll be some minor tweaks this year. We might get into the funding. You know, the way they set up the task force, it's set to run a whole nother year. And so we've worked through sort of the first half of our assignment, and we'll have some small pieces this year. But I really think it'll be next fall before we sort of as a group are able to bring forward our final report. But, you know, we're well into those conversations. And I think we're on track to accomplish the things that Governor Kelly put in motion.
I'll be curious to know, you know, this is an election year and we're going to get a new governor in 2027, where this conversation goes beyond this year. So do you foresee this being a continuing conversation?
I think it has to be. You know, going back to, I think I always mention this, but going back to Representative Hyland 4 years ago now, he really elevated this issue statewide, and Governor Kelly latched onto it to her campaign. Derek Schmidt, when he ran for governor, was talking about it. And we've seen more attention to water than we have in the past. And we've got some really big projects with, we're really addressing the declines out west. We're dealing with the reservoir sedimentation, like the experimental dredging at Tuttle Creek. So we're really making some good progress. And I think we're going to have exciting news. And one of the things that I've committed to, you know, in my position and with the task force is, I don't know that anyone in the gubernatorial field right now really is super keyed into water, right? It's not a policy area that they've spent a lot of time involved in directly or thinking about. So part of, I think, our job as the task force is to make sure when that field sort of narrows out, of course, we're available to anybody that wants to talk to us now, but as we narrow that field, I think it's important for us to put together a plan and say, hey, we've spent the last 2 years studying this. This was a legislative initiative. And, you know, here's kind of the blueprint for what we need. And, you know, we're going to take it to those folks and explain it to them. And I'm hopeful we'll get their buy-in. But I think I would be surprised, even for folks that have a lot of learning to do about it, I think it'd be really short-sighted if they're not invested in this issue. And I think as they get out on the campaign trail, we'll start to see water come up.
You brought up the dredging at Tuttle Creek. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on that? That was kind of a neat experimental issue that was done by the federal government there.
No, it really is a game-changing plan. If it's successful, the way I compare it is, it's sort of like if you look at removing that sedimentation at a price per cubic pound, or I'm not very good at the measurements, right? But mm-hmm. But basically, if you look at the price it takes to move that dirt traditionally, it's so expensive that you really can't do it, right? If we want to use traditional methods, at some point it would be cheaper just empty out the reservoir, clean it out, and then refill it back up, which nobody wants to do ecologically or for a number of reasons. So if the dredging works, which the indications in the first test are that it did, the cost is actually sustainable. We can create partnerships, and it's something we can actually afford to do. And it's a way that really has a huge impact. And so I'm excited to see us finish this out over the next calendar year. And I'll be at the front of the charge to make sure we have funding long term if it's successful.
Right on. All right. State Senator Kenny Titus joining us here. Other things that were brought up last night, big pushes here for education. No surprise there. Governor Kelly's been heavy on her support for funding of public schools. The cell phone ban, I think there's going to be a lot of support, it sounds like, for a cell phone or bill to ban cell phones in school. How do you see that going forward, and what exactly will that look like, do you think?
Yeah, well, the first thing I do want to say, just sort of the overall tone, and I heard this from a number of members when I was sort of sitting on the floor, you know, the tone was different in this last address, and maybe that's because it was the last address, but, you know, Governor Kelly made a big deal about working together and civility and not demonizing your opponents and, you know, just being good people to each other. And I really appreciated her saying that, because there's been so much vitriol in the national discourse. And, you know, a lot of us will tell you we don't see that at Kansas as much. We have our issues, but it's not near as bad at the state level. So her overall tone, I thought, was refreshing. And a lot of people left the speech kind of optimistic, because instead of focusing on the things she knows we disagree about, you know, there's not, especially with the recent federal cuts, right? There's not a feasible way to expand Medicaid, right? Whether you're a supporter or not, now that the reimbursement costs have gone down, it's just not something the state could afford to start now. And I appreciate that she sort of acknowledged that by not pushing for that for the eighth year, right? So she focused on things where I think we can make progress. And the cell phone ban is one where we have a bipartisan bill, and I'll be supporting that. I honestly wouldn't mind seeing something go a little bit farther with technology and limiting tablets and things like that. In our area, you know, Manhattan has their policy. Wamego has a fairly comprehensive policy. Rock Creek, though, it's kind of a classroom-by-classroom thing. So there'll be some fallout. I've heard from some of my school districts in Shawnee County. They have a policy, but they don't require the phones to be secured. They let kids keep them in their backpacks, and so they're worried that they'll incur some costs. So there's some little pieces to this that have to be worked out, but I haven't heard a legislator say they're against this, and I think if you look at the evidence, and folks in Manhattan will be familiar with this because of what the school board went through last year, but I just haven't seen any negative, you know, for student outcomes. There are no negative impacts of doing this that I'm aware of, so I expect this will, I think they have a hearing actually later this week, and I'll be surprised if this might be one of the first bills that goes to the governor's desk.
Mm. All right, yeah. I'll be curious to see how that goes, too. She also brought up, you know, I can't remember exactly how she worded it here, but having free meals, and I think she brought this up last year, too, free meals for all who qualify. And I don't know exactly how you can get that done here, where the funding would come from. Is that something that's even possible to get through the legislature this year?
Well, it's going to be a tight budget year. Last year we cut money, but we increased spending in core areas. I expect a similar approach this year. I did pull the numbers on this. It's about 36,000 students, a reduced price lunch runs 40 cents, a reduced price breakfast runs about 30 cents a day. So at the end of the day, we're looking at about a $5 million fiscal note to cover that. And there are actually a couple places where I would be interested in a conversation on that. You know, $5 million is not an insurmountable amount. But at 40 cents a day is also a relatively reasonable number. It's really a matter of, is this a priority for the budget committee? It's something that it could be accomplished, but I've not heard a lot of discussion within our caucuses on this issue, but it's something that could be kept in mind. You know, on a similar line, we do a lesser reimbursement if you're part of the food program in early childhood, for example, and you run a in-home daycare, and you can participate in these programs, but you get reimbursed at a lower rate than you would if you're a center. And I had introduced a bill last year to equalize those to kind of help our in-home care providers. So there are a couple areas with a relatively modest fiscal note I think we could really help some students out. So it's cautiously optimistic on it. It's something I'll be keeping an eye on for sure.
All right. One thing I also did last night after the State address is I listened to the Dan Hawkins Republican response there, and it sounds like there's going to be a push to continue to lower property taxes, and I know that's always a continuing discussion here. Where do you see that going here in 2026? Do we see more of a push here to lessen that, or maybe push it back to the local level here, or what do you see?
I think, that's going to be the biggest discussion of the year. We had our caucus meeting on Monday morning, and that took up the majority of the time. There's really sort of two different plans that are being looked at. We have the cap on assessed valuation that's in Senate tax right now, and the House is looking at a plan that would, it won't be called LAVTR, right? That's the ad valorem tax fund that used to send money back to the locals, but it'll be something very similar to that, and the idea would be any city or county could, you can increase your budget by roughly a number, say inflation plus new growth, or pick a number, 2% plus new growth. And if you stay below that percentage every year, you're going to get some money from the state to help cover your budget. If you exceed that, you then will have to take your budget to a public vote in order to exceed that percentage. So the way I've been approaching it is, there's a lot of different ideas out there, but there isn't one idea by itself it necessarily fixes all the problems we're seeing. And so we have to look at this as sort of a package deal. We have to deal with property tax on both ends. And that's complicated too, because, if you look at our area, say take Waubunsee County, they don't have a lot of sales tax. Pott County and Riley County can replace property tax with sales tax to some degree, but that's not necessarily true of a lot of our rural counties, that maybe their only sales tax is a couple of gas stations and a Dollar General. So balancing that in rural areas is something that will come up. And then there's some really creative ideas that have been pitched out there to get rid of property tax entirely or big chunks of it by shifting that money to, eliminating sales tax exemptions or creating a special user fee on transactions. And actually, I don't know that we have the momentum and the details to push something that comprehensive forward now, but I would love to see some of our gubernatorial candidates latch on to those plans and really, over the next couple of years, have a discussion, because I think we've got so many local entities in Kansas that levy property tax. Long-term, what we're doing just isn't sustainable, and I know those folks are doing their best to provide the services, so we need to look long-term at some of these ways, and we're going to have to be creative and kind of change the way the system looks, and I'm optimistic we're the seeds of those plans are being planted now.
Right.
And I don't think we will leave Topeka without. I'll be surprised and disappointed if we don't leave with some real level of property tax relief as well this year.
Interesting to watch here as we see what happens over the next few months here in Topeka. Senator Kenny Titus will be a big part of that here. Thank you so much for the time this morning. We'll continue to watch from the sidelines.
Hey, I appreciate it. Stay warm, everybody.
All right. Again, Senator Titus joining us here on News Radio KMAN. More of our morning show coming up right after this.